So they make it all fun, right? I am looking forward to the game itself. I'm a sports fan. We, however, we're going to watch, there's a kids broadcast on Nickelodeon, the NFL Slime Time broadcast. We're going to watch that with our kids where they like overlay different things. Like if the game was on Nickelodeon, I think SpongeBob is like the sideline reporter or something like that. So we're going to watch that with our kids and think it'll be fun. We'll see. It's on Nickelodeon or Paramount Plus if you subscribe there as well. But so you can watch that too. Now, whether you like it or not, some of you are excited for the game. Some of you are like, please just let this thing be over. It is a massive thing in our society. It is a spectacle. People talk about it. Many people just think the Monday after should be a national day off of work. I'll take tomorrow off. Why not? Whether you want to or not, it's huge. So we thought we'd have a little fun with it. We did this last year. We have an event, kind of like your own pregame with our church in Chile. The whiteboard is up here. We'll get to that. I did this last year. I like to go all coach speak. I'm not a football coach, but I coached my son's soccer team. Starting next week, I'm coaching his basketball team. We'll see how that goes. But we're going to get to this in a little bit. But what we'll talk about with football today is this. Football teams have players, but they also have coaches who call the plays, right? They call the plays. They tell the players what to do. What we're going to look at today is how God is, in essence, the play caller in our lives. God, the ultimate play caller, would be our theme today. Now, play callers for football teams, you'll see this tonight in the game if you watch it. They're going to call plays based on strategy, what their team's good at, what they think the other team's going to do, all this kind of stuff. As Christians, God calls us to certain plays. But the cool thing that we'll start with is the fact that God actually wants us on his team. If you know how professional sports teams work, usually you get drafted. They have to want you on their team. God wants us on his team, and he also calls the plays. So the way we'll look at it today is this. God calls the player, and he calls the plays. So God calls the player us, and he calls the plays in our lives. So let's look first at how he calls us just as the player to be a part of his team. We're going to read Mark 1, verses 16 through 20. This passage is bookmarked on those Bibles on your table, but everything I read from today will be up here on the screen as well. So Mark 1, verses 16 through 20 says this, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. 'Come follow me,' Jesus said. 'I will send you out to fish for people.' At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." So this is like Jesus coming and drafting his disciples, right? He chose them. This was not the other way around. This was actually a little more radical in Jesus' day. Usually these people that would follow teachers and rabbis, they'd get all educated and schooled, and they would pick which rabbi they would follow. Jesus flipped the script. He went, "Nope, you come with me. You come with me." And the men he chose, they weren't super special or elite by any sort of society standards. They were fishermen, which was fine, but they weren't anything super special. But they heard Jesus call them, and they followed him. They left what they were doing, and they went. Following him meant giving up what they had. Fishing could be a decent profession at the time. If we look at James and John, their dad, Zebedee, had the business. They would have stood to inherit the business and anything that came with it, but they left. They left all that. They were willing to follow Jesus. So what we want to think about today is that Jesus chose you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. If you've never wanted anything to do with Jesus, if you followed him and walked away, if you've never heard of him, if you've done things in your past that you regret, Jesus still wants all of us here on his team. He wants you to follow him. Even if you feel like, man, I'm tied to this thing over here, he's like, no, you can break from that and follow me this way. Okay, cool. I decided to do that. What do I get, right? What's this get me? Well, love, forgiveness, grace, and eternal life. One of the most famous passages in the Bible, John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it through him." So we're given eternal life. That's what Jesus came to do, to save us, to save you. Now, if you've never said yes to that, to following him, you can do that today. You can talk to me or one of our leaders. All of our leaders are wearing these name tags. You can talk to us about that after service. Or maybe you've said yes, and you're like, I got to recommit to that, right? I need to think it through again. You can do that. Or maybe you're like, yeah, I'm following him, but I need to reassess what that really means again. Make sure I'm doing it well. The fact is God chose us. When we follow him, it's like signing for that team that drafted us. Okay, so we're on this team. God chose us. He wants us there. We're there. Now we have to understand that God is calling the plays in our lives. We're going to get into four different plays today. Now, these aren't exhaustive. These will not be the only things God will do in your life. But they're one that I think in some way, shape, or form, he will call us all to. Now, I am not a football coach. If these are diagrammed incorrectly, I apologize. You can get on me for that later. But we're going to see how these plays relate to the plays God calls in our lives. So we're going to start with the first one, the run play. That's this one up here. Basically, very simple. This guy here gets the ball from the center, hands it to the running back, and he runs. That's it. It's pretty basic. Teams run something like this all the time. It's a foundational play of what they're trying to do as a team. It sets the tone. We have a run play, and I'm going to describe our run play as reading our Bibles and praying. And we're going to look at two scriptures that go with that, because these are the basics in our lives. If you can't read this, that's okay too. My handwriting is moderately good. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This will be up on the screen too. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Let's look at those. All right, so there we go. So the basics. Let's start with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So, all scripture is God-breathed. This means that the words in the Bible come from God, and what he says is useful to us. So we have all these different writers in the Bible. They wrote in their own voice, but God inspired them to write. So we believe in the Bible being the living and breathing word of God. And I like living, breathing, because it's not just this ancient book that doesn't matter anymore, that was written forever ago, it's old, it's just a history book. No, it's actually a library of 66 books that are still relevant to providing guidance for our lives today. So to follow God, we need to know who he is and what he said. Think about it. If you've ever written a paper back in any part of school, you went to the books, you researched, okay, what happened? Who was this person? The Bible helps us with that with God. It teaches us who God is and what he's done. It also gives us rebuke, it says, things we're not supposed to do. There are things that God doesn't want us to do. Not so different from a parent child. There are things they don't want you to do, and you might get rebuked. God does that, behavior that doesn't honor him. It's also good for correcting things we need to change in our lives. We're going and we kind of veered off course, right? And God's like, proceed to the root, like our GPS will tell us, okay? He's going to correct it. Maybe you've been told something in the past about God that isn't actually true. The Bible helps us see who God really is. So it helps us become faithful and good servants of God and trained well in learning what to do. All right, so reading the Bible. Then we have 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It says, pray continually. So if reading is helping us get to know who God is, then praying is talking about it with them. Talk to him. You can ask questions about what you've read. You can be thankful. You can be confused. You can be upset and frustrated. You can be happy. It can all be great. It doesn't matter. Just talk to him. Pray continually. This grows our relationship with God. These are the two basics, and they build our foundation as followers of Jesus. I remember watching football when I was younger a lot, and teams ran the ball like this a lot more than they do now. And I always thought it was this most boring play, because they would go, and this guy would seem to like run into this guy, and he'd go like 2 yards, and it was over. Like, this is boring. It's basic. Why are we doing this? Let's do something more exciting. But this was important. This built a foundation. That's what God wants us to do. We'll get to the fun stuff and the crazy stuff, but he wants these foundations. So God wants us to run this play over and over. It shapes us as a follower of Jesus. If you want to read your Bible and you have no clue how, great. We can help you a little bit with that. You open up your Bible, and the first book of the Bible is Genesis. I'm going to encourage you to not start there. Go to the New Testament, start with Mark. Learn about Jesus right away. You can get back to Genesis at some point, right? Start in Mark. Start one of the Gospels. It tells the story of Jesus. If you need ideas, you visit our website, hometownverona.com. We have a resources page that lists a number of different Bible plans using the Bible app for free. Any of those Bibles on your table, if you need a Bible, please just take one. If you need a physical one that is our gift to you, all of you as phones and tablets, you have access to a Bible. There's an app, shocker, right? App for everything. Lots of Bible apps. There's some good ones too. YouVersion is the one many of us use. So it's there. Read it. And if you've read the Bible before, the entire thing, don't go to sleep on me, because you're not out of this. We all can read it again. There is not like the sequel to the Bible coming that you need to wait for. We need to go back and read it again, because God's going to give us more through it. We're going to start a series on the book of Philippians next week. That is probably the book in the Bible I've read the most times, and I get something different every time, because there's a different way to use it in my life. So read it again. Read it again. God will speak something new. And then pray. Pray every day. Talk to God about anything. Last week we talked about prayer. I said the best prayer is a prayer that's prayed, basically meaning just pray. You can't do it wrong. You don't have to worry about being good enough. It helps us keep God at the forefront of our minds, not the back, if we talk to him continually. So do these foundations. It's not always fun. It's not always super cool, but it's really important. So the basics. But then sometimes there is the cool stuff. We're going to move over here. This is called the flea flicker. See if you can follow me on this one. What happens here is we're going to start it like the run play. So the running back's going to get the ball, go here, but then he's going to give it back to the quarterback, who's going to throw it down to this guy who's, in theory, really wide open. Now, it's a trick play. Trick plays exist in football and other sports, really, to catch the other team off guard, to make you think you're doing something, but then do something totally unexpected. God might call a trick play in our lives. God might do something unexpected. That's right, unexpected. Right? We might think we're going to do something and then do something totally different. We're going to look at Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. All right. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God's not like us, thank goodness. He thinks in different ways, he acts in different ways, and often we can't comprehend it. He might have us do something that we don't see coming, others don't see coming, we wouldn't want to do, others might not have us do. But his plan is on a whole other level than our own. It might go against what we think or want, but it will work for God. He says here, his word will not return to him empty-handed. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. The unexpected will work. The idea of this is that you're going to think it's one thing and you're going to do something unexpected. I don't know how often this play actually works, but it's supposed to. It's credited actually to Illinois coach Bob Zupke, who ran it in 1925. He named it because it is supposed to evoke the quick flicking action of a dog getting rid of fleas. That's actually where the name came from, flea flicker. I didn't know that. Learned something every time. It's quick. You don't see it coming. It's a trick play. God might call a trick play in our lives. I gotta believe when coaches call some of these, they're like a little nervous. Is this gonna work? It's okay to be nervous when God calls a trick play in your life. That's totally normal. There's uncertainty for us in these moments. Other people might even say, don't do that. It's not a good idea. But if God calls you to it, run it. Be more focused on running the play than the outcome of the play. We may think, this isn't going to work. I'm going to drop the pass or whatever it is. But again, God doesn't think or work like us. If we think we dropped the pass, then the play isn't over, or the goal wasn't for us to catch it and score a touchdown. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. Remember, achieve the purpose for which God sent it. If God calls you to the unexpected, run the play. Don't worry about the outcome. He's got the outcome covered. All right, so we got our basics. We got our trick play, the unexpected. Next one, the punt. The punt. Sometimes a drive comes to an end, it's fourth down, and you're just going to punt the ball away. Right? That play set is over. It's not the end of the game, but just that part is over. Right? So there is a time for certain things. We'll just say a time. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Again, this is one I'm going to tell you. If you're new to reading the Bible, don't start in Ecclesiastes either. Yeah, we'll do that one later. So Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8 says this about punting. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search, a time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So there is a time for everything, every aspect of life. Different times in the Old Testament, there was kind of a theme. They would know, okay, this is a time where it's going to rain. This is a time for harvest. This is a season or time when our enemies are going to rise up or they're going to fall. And the point is, God's in control of all of that. All of the couplets in this passage kind of work counter to each other. There's time for one, that one ends, then something else starts. So one starts, one ends, and it starts, it keeps going. So God's in control of that, and sometimes it's time to be done with something in our lives. So sometimes something in our life, it's time to punt it away. Literally, punting is giving the ball away, but you're controlled and you're planned about it, right? So you're going to kick the ball away on purpose. The stats show that the longest punt on record was 108 yards by Zenon Andrushian of the Toronto Argonauts in the Canadian Football League in 1977. It was then tied by a kicker for the Saskatchewan Roughriders in 2011. So 100 and some yards, it's a long punt. NFL punter Jeff Fiegels holds the NFL record in his career with 71,211 punt yards and 1,713 punts in his career. That is a lot of kicking, a lot of yards covered. But the point of that is they kick the ball away a lot. This happens. It's moving on and ending drives. God may call you to move on from something and end something. Relationships, jobs, where you're living, anything like that. If God is calling you to do it, to move on from something, I want us to remember that is not quitting or giving up. We're often taught to not give up or to not quit, to push through everything. And I get that. And in general, I believe it. I believe in working through hard things. But there are times when God will call us to be done with something. He did what he needed to do during that time. He's ready to move on. There was a time for that, is what he would say. Now there's a time for something else. So we punt and we end that drive. Now this takes discernment and listening because it needs to come from God. There are times where we may want to punt and God's like, nope, we're going to keep going. Or there's times where we want to keep going. God's like, nope, we're done. We're going to punt. So keep following God. Listen, discern, and pay attention and trust when he tells you to move on from something. Sometimes moving on is harder than pushing through. So sometimes we have to punt. But then there are those times when we're going to go for it. It's fourth down. You have options. We could kick it away. We could do different things. But we're just going to go for it. We're going to have to trust. We have to trust in these moments, just like the teams have to trust that their coach is calling a good play. So we trust to go for it. God's going to say, keep going. Keep going. We'll look at two passages on this. We're going to look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and Romans 8, 28. All right. So we're going to trust God and go for it. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. He'll make your paths straight. Trust God, he will make your path straight. This was a meaningful passage to the Israelites. Much of the terrain in Israel would have been hilly, rocky, and bumpy. So for somebody to make a smooth, straight path would have been incredibly welcomed for that. The Hebrew word where we render trust, the look would have been to lie face down completely helplessly. And basically you're lying there face down, helpless, completely resigned to the fact that God needs to take you where you're going to go. So trust is knowing that we can't do it on our own, but we'll let God guide us. Romans 8, 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This verse is very future focused. Paul's writing that God is working everything together for our good. Now, this isn't necessarily our good right here in the moment on earth. We may not see it now, but it's our good for eternity, our good in heaven with God. God's goodness is always at work, but we're always looking forward to the future and the return of Jesus and future glory. So going for it is going to work in God's way, but we have to trust him. There's a debate in sports right now that should you coaches go with their gut or with what's called the analytics. So the gut would be basically, I got this feeling, right? I can feel it. We've all said this. I feel it in my gut. I know we should just do it. So should they go for it based on that? Then there's the analytics, the numbers, right? Okay, what do the stats tell me and the probabilities and all this kind of stuff about if I go for it or don't, what I should do? Well, the cool thing is God's got them both covered. He fits the gut and the analytics. Okay, the gut and our hearts turn towards him and trust him. So our gut is our heart knowing that God's there and we can trust him. And the analytics comes from reading the Bible and seeing, okay, God's been good and faithful there, good and faithful there. He'll be good and faithful now. So we trust God with all of our heart. We have to trust God more than we trust ourselves. And for some, that's easier than others, to trust God more than ourselves. But we have to put down the pride of thinking that we know better, that our ideas are best, or that others in our lives may not know best for us, but God does. And that we lean not on our own understanding. Basically, it may not make sense right now. Sometimes it does, right? Sometimes what God's doing does make sense. Sometimes it doesn't. The thing is, God never promises that his plan will make sense. I've read the Bible. I've looked for that. It's not there as much as I want it to be. But he promises us that he's working things together for our good. Remember, future good, heavenly good. There is more coming for us. That's a big part of faith, is to remember that it's not all about right now. We're here today. Yes, God loves us and cares for us right now, and he's guiding us, and he's here for us right now, but we're also looking forward. So trust God. Go for it and trust God when he calls you to that. It might be one of the toughest plays to run, but it's so important. So God will call in some way, shape, or form all four of these in our lives. Somehow, it'll look different. We always talk about this in your own lives, in your context. It will look different. But run them. And when you run all of them, when you run the plays God calls, we win. We take the win. And that win, I believe, is joy. Joy, not happiness, not that emotion of feeling good, but joy, something we choose to have, knowing that what we have is about something bigger. We have a taste of what's coming, but it hasn't come yet in its fullness. That we have God that loves us, forgives us, and offers us grace and eternal life, and he is in control. We take joy in that. And if that sounds good, I'd love for you to come back next week as we start our series on Philippians with the theme being joy. We're going to say joy, choose to choose it, because we choose to take joy in our lives. And that's a huge win when we're able to do that, to have that joy in who God really is. And we always win when we let God call the plays. And remember, he calls the player, he calls us to his team, and he calls these plays in our lives. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning, that we could all be here. And God, as we have fun and kind of celebrate everything that's going on today, I pray that we'd remember who you are in our lives. And the first part, God, that you do call us, that you want us with you, that you want us, and that we can accept that invitation, and we can be followers of you. And God, we also thank you that you guide us and do call those plays in our lives, God. So we have something to follow. We have you to follow. And we're never on our own. We never have to do it completely blindly, but that we know we can follow you. And we know that you're setting us up and working things together for our good, God. We thank you for that. In your name. Amen.